This is how they refer to them.
The carriers of Iranian Islamic culture to China are many. However, a few of them shine with stellar luminescence. One of these brilliant stars is Sayyid Shamsuddin. He was born in 1211 AD in the greater Khorasan region of Iran and during the Yuan dynasty reign in the Yunnan province in the southwest of China assumed governorship. Based on his own merits and competence, he managed to rise high in the government of Mongol emperors of China. Even when he was barely 19 years old, he succeeded to take office as governor of a large portion of the Shanxi province of Mongolia.
A well-known name in China is that of a mariner called Zheng Kuo. He was a descendant of from a fifth generation descendant of Shamsuddin. We all know first name was Sambao. In Chinese, it's written Sambao, but most people don't realize that this name is derived from Farsi, from the word Seshambe. From Shambe, actually. Because in Yunnan province, where they can pronounce sh, and instead they use s, Shambe was uttered as Sambe. And there you go on, the seaman's name, I mean Sambo, that comes from Sambe. That's the story anyway.
Shamsuddin held various official posts with four of the Mongol emperors, such portfolios as Chief Justice, the Court's Special Inspector, Military Commander, the Court's Consultative Chief, and many others. During the rule of Kublai Khan, he assumed premiership. Eventually, based on his many abilities, Shamsuddin was chosen as the plenipotentiary governor of Yunnan province and was sent there on assignment, along with an entourage of military personnel, companions, and of course, his family. Shamsuddin's descendants can still be found in this province. Such people as the famous navigator Zhen He, who traveled many times to various destinations in the Middle East, and the Hormuz Strait in the Persian Gulf. Among Chinese people, he is regarded as a legendary hero.
All I know is that Shamsuddin was very active in propagating Islam, for which he's done a lot. Initially in Sichuan province and then in Yunnan. And that famed navigator, Zhen He too, traced his ancestry back to him. He was Shamsuddin's fifth generation descendant, and Zhen He himself had set sail seven times for expedition and visited the Hormuz Strait three times.
Gradually, in the course of history, the Silk Road as the gateway to cross-continental communications gave way to the modern achievements of the contemporary time, such as telephony, radio, television, and most recently, the internet. These media constitute an invisible Silk Road, connecting cultures and expediting tremendously their interchanges. China's international radio is one example of these active modern-day Silk Roads.
China's international radio service began operating in October 1957, and 50 years has passed since. From its inception, it's had nearly 200 people working here. And now I can say there are 18 people altogether working in the Farsi section.
Newsmaking cultural interactions between China and Iran are as robust as ever and are poised to further the brilliant bygone era by ever more enhancing communications.
I must add here that although the Farsi section of Chinese international radio has a history of 51 years, but it is still young. I mean, it's a young department. We strive to arrive at a novel method of creating a new Silk Road between the two countries. Nowadays, we have something called the Internet, something modern, which would only accelerate and elevate interactions.
The reminiscences of the bygone era are still alive amid the sinuous course of winding roads and camel caravans. Silken memories made of friendship and munificence between the people of the past, where hands meet to create culture and civilization on the bedrock of history. Today still, Sino-Iranian relations persist in commercial, cultural, political, scientific, and media-related forms. In terms of media affairs, Iran and China have both set up Chinese and Farsi language radio stations, which have an active role in exchanging information and news stories.
The Persian language, just like Chinese, is as old as history. Farsi, I mean, the Iranian nation, similar to that of China, is very ancient indeed. Two civilized languages, two civilization-creating nations. And this civilization can be witnessed best in language. And the Farsi language is indeed very memorable.
I've been attracted to Iranology, and I have been pursuing that topic, which is extremely rich. I hope we can keep doing that for more years, for tens or more years, in fact, for as long as I live.
For centuries, the fervent devotees of the boundless ocean of Persian culture and literature have been gravitating toward this cynosure to delve into its unfathomable depths and discover its priceless pearls.